Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Frumpke Show. This evening, my guest is Diane Saxton, who has written a fascinating new novel entitled Peregrine Island. And to tell you about it, Diane, say hello, I want to get a voice level.
Hello.
Okay, that's good. I'm going to ask Diane to tell us why she wrote Peregrine Island. I know she's written some nonfiction and other things, but Peregrine Island was a departure for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was a journalist, and I have been writing a very big, very, very large book about the last century and about people and the families and a family in the last century. And it got very, very large, so I thought I'll do something in between. And one day was looking at a painting, and I thought, why would this man have painted this painting? Why does anybody paint a painting? And what's behind it? And that's how I started this book.
Does Peregrine Island have anything to do with the Peregrine Falcon?
Yeah. They're very independent. They're kind of isolated. And they're not accepted, really. And I wanted the family that I wrote about to be the same kind of family as the bird.
So most of our listeners, Diane, probably don't know much about you. Actually, most of the people who know you don't know much about you. Now, let me say, first of all, before I get into this and kid with you, that the book is published by SWP, which stands for She Writes Press. It's in your bookstores now, or you can probably get it on BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon or that sort of thing.
Well, not yet.
Not yet, but you will be able to.
It'll be out in the beginning of August.
Beginning of August. It's worth reading for this reason. I seldom tell you this on air, but like Amanda Filipacchi, Diane is also has an offbeat style which appeals to me. I like her style of writing, and I think you will catch her before she becomes where you can't get the book anymore. So if you run in and get one early, you'll be doing yourself a favor. Peregrine Island, like all of her books to be, is unusual, beautifully crafted, style, full of style, and full of Diane, which is very special. So I'm giving it this little liftoff because I actually like your writing, and I think listeners ought to know that. Now, so let's find out who you are and why we like your writing. Tell us where'd you come from, Diane? Where'd you grow up? Where were you born?
Well, first I wrote for a lot of different magazines.
No, first you were born.
Oh, well, that's true. I grew up between New York and Georgia.
And so the East Coast. Is there a place?
Chappaqua and a place near Augusta called Waynesboro, Georgia.
You grew up in both of those places.
Right.
So you were by Fidel.
South North,
I think.
There used to be a Confederate Day parade.
Yes. Now you, if I may reveal this to them, you're kind of an old line type. It means you've got a well-heeled pedigree. Your roots go deep in the South and the North. And you're what we would call a classy, low-keyed, old line American, right? Of sorts. You grew up in that kind of atmosphere, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And you went to private schools and so forth. And where'd you go to college?
I went to two colleges. I went to Bennett College, which is no longer.
Bennett and?
And a school in Switzerland.
And a school in Switzerland, La Rose. There was
I went to the American
girls'
school.
The American school for?
Tassus and Franklin College, they entered.
And what'd you study?
And Bennett Design, which was kind of a... And then I thought I wanted to go into politics. I never did.
Okay, so...
I started with one of the magazines right after that.
Which one?
I started at Vanity Fair in London and then went back to it later in New York. But I started not as a writer, and then went back and started writing for them.
Very, very cool. So when did you get involved in writing? When did you feel, or who did you read, or when did you have the feel a little growing passion to write?
And always, why? I guess.
Always,
but yeah, I mean, I minored in English, but it wasn't, I mean, I didn't...
But it was a minor.
It was a minor, because I thought design would be more romantic and more whatever.
Okay.
But then I was not good at design, number one, and I was bored silly by it.
So then, who were the writers that, when you were a kid or as you grew, who did you admire? Who did you read? Who would you say inspired you? Or who did you enjoy reading?
Wallace Stegner was my favorite writer.
Wallace Stegner.
Angle of Repose. And then I got very friendly, as I told you, with Barry Unsworth, who was a Brit and who moved to
one of our fine writers, really. Didn't he win a...
He won the Booker Prize.
Booker Prize, which is the equivalent of the National...
Sacred Hunger.
Mm-hmm. I once interviewed him. He was a wonderful writer, and I remember enjoying his book. Okay, so you had good models.
Yeah.
And... when did you did a lot of nonfiction for the magazine, for Vanity Fair?
A lot of articles.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And then I went to other magazines and then went back to Vanity Fair again.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's changed, but that's all right. A lot of ads now.
So what is it, how does it feel to have written a novel? Are you pleased?
It's very different.
It is different.
Extremely different, because when you're writing for one of these, the Huff Post or any of these things, you don't have, it's not you, it's really them.
Right.
And now it's me, and that's kind of throwing me. Do you know what I mean?
I do know.
That's, yeah.
You've imbued the book with you. It has essence of Diane somewhere in there. This is, you know, it's a little offbeat, as you are a little offbeat, and some of your dreams and fantasies and whatever, but they'll have to find this out on their own.
It's not autobiographical at
all. No, of course not.
At
but
all.
Trust me, folks, if you read it carefully,
not.
You'll know the autobiographical parts.
Don't listen to Lewis.
With the initials next.
Don't listen.
The ones on my copy that are well worn. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, would you like to see it made into a film, Diane?
I think it would make a really good film.
Yeah, it is. It has that.
Meryl thinks it would be a good play, and I think it would be a good film.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I mean, it takes place over one summer, so...
Who's better?
It would be the little girl.
Yeah, who is better?
Well, I believe that...
And
if
did you
look
call
at,
her Petta because she's a little girl?
No, I made that up, and then I went and looked up the name, and... Damn, there are a lot of people... There are Pettas.
Could so have been I guess Pedophile I Island.
No. No, I just feel that the very old and the very young have something that's very kind of pure, that other people don't.
I agree with that.
And I really do believe
very,
that.
Very interesting, because you can see that sometimes in grandparents and grandchildren,
right.
A special bond that forms, that's pure, and but that's unique. it's a lovely thing. You've always had kind of an interesting philosophy, a little different, but you're a thinker as well. Where does that, how does that come about? You were not a philosophy major.
No,
you had interesting parents, right?
No, they weren't really readers or writers. No. And I never saw my father that much till I got older. I think it's when you're writing, I feel that you get into almost a meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote some articles about psychic phenomena. Did I ever tell you that?
I don't know. You feel free to tell me now.
Anyway, I interviewed psychics and professors, and a friend of mine was really doing a lot of Maria Cooper, Gary Cooper's daughter. She's very involved with all that. But But anyway, these things started happening to me when I was writing these articles that really kind of scared me. I mean, I dreamt one night that our neighbor died the hour he died, and I hardly knew him. Things like that. And I thought, after I pulled away kind of because of things, these things were happening. And I thought, there's so much of your brain that you don't use, that you don't know.
Sure.
I find the same thing with fiction. You start writing, I start writing, and I don't know where a lot of this comes from. I have no idea. And it's to me, that's fascinating.
Yeah, well, this, you know, it's interesting. Critics often, when they're deconstructing a book, will find symbolism and themes and all kinds of stuff in a novel that the writer never was consciously aware he or she was putting in the book. I mean, you know, and it's legendary that, Melville said he was writing a book about a big white fish. Not good and evil necessarily or whatever. But I mean, we all, I've in my minor excursions into writing, have discovered things that someone else pointed out to me that I hadn't noticed when I was writing it, and sure enough, there it was. You know, your kind of Freud had a lot of insight into this, and
I'm surprised you haven't published a novel.
Yes.
I know you started to write one, right?
I started to write one in about 1988, 1990, and when I got to page 80, it was called Devereaux Beach, and I was up teaching at Harvard. And when I got to page 80, I found my main character had a different name from when I began. And I said, maybe I'm not a novelist. Maybe I should stick to lengths where I can remember the name. Short essays and stuff. And I waited many, many years. And a friend of mine who was an agent looked at my manuscript 20 years later and said, that wasn't bad. Why don't you keep going? And I said, for that reason, he said, well, keep it going. I said, I can't remember what I was writing, but, you know, I can't remember the theme. But whatever. Yeah, you know, we all dream of being a novelist. Your credit, you are. You wrote a novel. You were a journalist. You did a lot of things in your life, but you wrote a novel. And you have even a larger novel finished. I don't know whether we should talk about it on air yet, because it's unpublished presently.
Right. Well, I'm still editing it.
Yeah. But it's a bigger book, and it has to do a much, much broader themes and so forth and so on. What do you have a favorite word or words that either crop up more often in your writing than others, or that you find beautiful for their euphony? Or?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I really have to think of that.
Okay, you can take your time. You let me know and I'll tell them on some other program.
Okay.
In the future.
I have to think about
that. Yeah, no. I do appreciate it.
I mean, I like the way some words sound, but a favorite word, the meaning?
Anything. Just, I'm not putting limits on it. Whatever it brings to mind.
Yeah, I do, but I have to. It's funny, and I don't speak Spanish, but I love a lot of the Spanish music and a lot of the Spanish words.
Yeah.
Because they're very...
musical.
Yeah, musical and picturesque.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
I have to think about that. Yeah, and I like, the meanings. I mean, I did a lot of, in this book.
Laurie Moore was someone, you asked me who I enjoyed interviewing. That was one of them.
In this book, I've got a lot of symbolism, and I don't know... Did you notice that or not?
Intentional symbolism?
Yeah, no, it's intentional.
Colors.
No, I'm talking
rocks.
About name. These characters are named after Shakespearean things like that kind of thing. Or mystical things. And I did that deliberately. But the words, I've got to think, that's a really good question. I'll come back to you on that.
Are you musical at all?
No, I wish I were. Are you?
Not really, a little, but do you speak other languages?
I used to. I need to go back to it. I used to speak French and Italian.
Oh. Nice. So your main interest was design and English.
And history.
And history.
Actually, I like history the best of all of that. The next book is historical. Although I liked writing this book. It was fun.
Do you have a pet animal?
In the book or with...
In real life.
Oh, dogs. I love dogs.
Dogs.
I have two Twitter accounts. One for the book and one for my writing, and then one for animals and politics.
Is that right? Is there somewhere where people can contact you?
They can look at the Twitter account.
What is it?
I mean, the writing one.
What is it?
It's on Diane B. Saxton.
Look on Diane B. Saxton.
Well, they can look at my website, Diane B. Saxton.
Diane B.
They
Saxton.
They can get to anything.
You can Google Diane B. Saxton. Look on the street, Diane B. Saxton.
You have to add the B, because if you don't, there's another writer who writes porn, Diane Saxon. Don't look her up.
No, it's Diane B.
Yeah.
For Beryl.
Right.
Diane Beryl Saxton.
Right.
Do you have sisters or brothers?
Sister.
What does she do?
She lives in Florida. She raises miniature horses. She's an artist, too.
Wow.
Miniature horses and a lot of other things. Animals.
So animals...
It's like a zoo.
Animals play a big part in your family.
Yeah. I have to have animals in books. Always. They're always have to be there.
You're beginning to see, folks? She's a little different. Starting to show now. Peregrine Island. You live up in the country, don't you, sometimes?
Yeah.
Alone?
Alone?
Do you?
No.
Well, you're with your family.
Yeah. Not alone. My husband. So, don't you want to know the sentence that best describes the book?
Diane, if you were asked to, in one sentence, describe the book, what would you say?
That it takes place over a summer when a family who is troubled, and they are troubled, get involved in a mystery behind an heirloom painting. And then strangers appear at the door with an unnatural interest in it, and that's actually what starts it.
And if that happened to you, you would also begin to, anyone would begin to wonder, what's going on? What's this painting all about?
And then somebody calls detectives in, but they aren't the ones that call the detectives.
This is pretty mysterious.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
So don't tell them too much, because I want them to buy the book and find out what all the mystery is about. I mean, this is the fun of it. It's a mystery novel, but not of the usual stripe, a little different.
Right.
And you will enjoy it.
Well, it's more of a literary mystery, I guess.
A literary mystery.
Or, what do they call it these days? They call it upmarket fiction. So
upmarket fiction? I don't even know that term. What does that mean?
The publisher called it. It straddles literary and commercial.
Oh.
I mean, that's her definition. Or, I guess it's...
So what's your dream, Diane?
My dream? To write the perfect novel.
What do you call a perfect novel? Gatsby?
No. Although I love his short stories.
So how would you know if you had written a perfect novel?
I guess you wouldn't. He killed himself, come to think of it. And it's very sad, that, isn't it? Do any of these writers ever know? I wonder.
If they've written the perfect novel?
Yeah.
First, you have to define what you mean by a perfect novel.
If I could write something like Sacred Hunger or like...
Wallace Stegner wrote that?
No, that was Barry Unsworth.
Barry Unsworth, right.
I mean, I thought the guy was brilliant. I mean, I can... Or even The Secret Garden. Did you ever read The Secret Garden to your granddaughter? Love.
I didn't, but I've been to the conservatory gardens where they have a little statue and pond devoted to The Secret Garden.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, on 94th and 5th.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's beautiful. It's very enchanting.
Where is it? 90 what?
94th and 5th Avenue.
Oh, I have to go.
The conservatory garden. Beautiful gardens, but and beautifully kept up, and right in there is a little fountain statuary with a little tiny fish pond around it and flowers all over it, and it's called The Secret Garden, and it's devoted to that book and that author.
What's the Well, I can ask you afterward.
Yes.
Because I love the secret card.
What advice would you give, Diane, to young writers starting out, or any writers starting out?
If they really want to write, they should never give up their dream of writing, ever, ever. Even if you feel that you can't remember who the character is, a year later, you should go back to it. Because I think that it's an exercise that I think is fascinating, just because it puts you into another world, it calms you down, and there are things in your brain that you would never think are there, ever. I mean, it's an amazing thing to me.
That's great advice, and it's comes to you, this sage advice comes to you courtesy of Diane Saxton, who practices what she preaches and has written a fascinating novel called Peregrine Island, published by SWP Press, and which is getting all kinds of wonderful notices. And if you don't find it in your bookstore, which I hope you do after the first week of August, go on to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and you'll find it. Peregrine Island by Diane Saxton. I want to thank Diane for being my guest.
Diane
on the
front
of
show.
Diane Beryl Saxton.
No,
Diane
B.
Saxton. And I want to thank Diane B. Saxton for being on the Frumpkin Show this evening. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Lewis.
Pleasure.